All right, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 15, and we'll finish our look at the prodigal son. Or maybe we should say prodigal sons. I've entitled this message, The Father's Grace. You know, one of the easiest things to do, maybe I should say the natural thing to do, is to treat a family member, let's say a son, in a very generous, benevolent way when that son clearly deserves it. He has earned it. He has done right. He has brought honor to the family name. He is making something out of his life. He is following in his father's footsteps. He's a chip off the old block. The apple has not fallen far from the tree. And so he makes his dad proud. But then on the other hand, one of the hardest things to do is to be kind and giving and generous and loving to a family member who least deserves it. Maybe that son has broken his dad's heart. Maybe he has brought dishonor to the family name. Maybe he is a prodigal. He has wasted substance with riotous living. Again, it's difficult to return good for evil. Let me just say, to do that, to truly return good for evil, you need Jesus in your heart. Well, in the story before us, we see a father doing just that, returning good for evil. His son has wasted his inheritance. He has squandered his father's wealth in wild living. And in doing so, he has brought disgrace and dishonor to his father's name. But now his son returns from that far country and confesses to his father that he has sinned, that I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no more worthy to be called your son. Well, what will his father do? What will be his father's response, reaction to his son? Will he hold him at arm's length? Make him face the shame that he deserves? Will he make him pay restitution by working off what he has so selfishly squandered? My response is no, 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 no. We read in verse 20 that when his son was a great way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. In other words, his gut hurt for him. Do you know what that means? I think you do. Have you recently just felt such a concern and such a burden for a particular person? Maybe that person is going through a very difficult time, and really your gut hurts for them. This father hurt for his son, but he shamelessly ran to him. He threw his arms around him and repeatedly kissed him. I say, what a beautiful picture of a father's love. But then, because love gives, we're going to see this evening the four blessings that this father heaps on this reconciled son. And what generous blessings they are. The first gift of love the father gives his son is the robe. Notice verse 22, the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. The Greek is actually saying here, servants, what I'm asking you to do, do it now. Do it quickly. Don't delay. Get that best robe. You know the one that I'm talking about. And get it immediately, hastily, speedily. Don't delay. Get it now. There's no time to waste. Now, every nobleman had what was known as a best robe, which was worn only on special occasions. The father would get out the old tux for life's biggest and most important events, the most significant occasions. And this was such an occasion. The Greek used here to describe this best robe means the first ranking garment. It was this long, stately garment that reached to his feet. Honestly, it was the kind of robe worn by kings, and so it stood for honor. And so we see here that the Father placing this garment on his Son is saying, the best I have is yours. You now become fully restored as a son. I am honoring you. Now remember, the Son came in stinking, filthy rags. He came as an unwashed and unclean person. In other words, as unwashed and as unclean as a person could be. You don't live with pigs and remain sanitized. He had nothing to offer. He was nothing. The only thing he could do was beg for mercy. But isn't that how the sinner must come? Filthy, vile, helpless, which is how we all must come, because God can only justify the ungodly. He can't justify the self-righteous. He can only justify those who say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Christ's sake. Remember Paul's words in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And so the Father says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And don't delay. Do it now. Do it now. And then the Father gives his Son, because of his love for his Son, he gives his forgiven Son the ring. We see in verse 22, and put a ring on his hand, on his finger. And this piece of jewelry was not just any old ring. We're talking here the signet ring, which bore the family crest and was used to stamp the wax seal on documents to authenticate them, and thus signified the Father's bestowing of privileges, rights, and authority on his Son. And we call this authority today the power of attorney. And so again, the Father said, put a ring on his finger. I'm honoring you by putting a robe on you. I'm giving you family authority by putting this ring on your finger. And then the Father gives his forgiven Son shoes. Verse 22, and shoes on his feet. Now please understand, wearing shoes / sandals was significant because hired men and servants, slaves, did not wear shoes. Only masters and sons wore shoes. And so for this father to say, put shoes on this boy's feet, was saying, he is my son again. And he once again possesses the full honor of sonship and all the blessings, rights, and privileges that go with sonship. Remember, the slave's dream and the Negro spiritual was of the time when all God's children got what? Shoes. Again, shoes were given to the sons and daughters of the master who were free. If you had shoes, you were free. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And so the Father is saying to his Son, the best of everything I have. A robe that indicates honor, a ring that indicates authority, and shoes that indicate sonship are yours. You now are fully restored as a son. Now, I think all of us at this point say, wow. You know, this son was so bad, And yet he comes back and repents. And the father gives him a robe. He gives him the ring. He puts shoes on his feet. Isn't that too much? I mean, he doesn't deserve it. But the father gives him the robe, the ring, the shoes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's a picture of you and me. We don't deserve the robe. We don't deserve the ring. We don't deserve the shoes. But that's our Father's, Heavenly Father's love. Oh, what love. I mean, I look at this son and say, that's the last thing I would want to give to that son. Even if he came back and repented. You know, I'm kind of giving him a little period of, well, is he going to really be the son that he claims now he wants to be? But God's love is so much greater. God's love truly is merciful and gracious. Wow. If you wonder how much the Heavenly Father truly loves you, remember what this father did for his son. Now please understand that the father giving the robe and the ring to his younger son would have shocked the scribes and the Pharisees who were listening to this story. Remember, legalism hates grace. For they know that the robe and the ring by rights were to go to the older brother, who would have first worn the father's formal robe at his own wedding, the single greatest event in the family's life. And he further would be given the ring as a symbol of his right as the firstborn to act on behalf of his father. But now, incredibly, the father gives these items to his younger son, which is a beautiful picture of God's love and grace bestowed on a penitent, trusting sinner. Grace triumphing over sin at its worst. Now let me just pause here and say, you say, well, what about the older son when he got married? What about the robe? What about the ring? I mean, that's the way it was supposed to be. Well, the reason the elder son never got the robe and never got the ring is because he never repented. He never repented. And you might be like the elder son, and you know, you've never wasted your substance with riotous living. But Jesus doesn't save the people that think they're godly, he saves the ungodly. So all of us, whether we've been raised in a Christian home or not, all of us need to remember that we are sinners and we need a Savior. We all, to one degree or another, are like either like the elder son or the prodigal son. But what a beautiful illustration of Psalm 103. I know you're familiar with these verses, but as the psalmist writes, he hath not dealt with us after our sin. Aren't you glad for that? Nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And then next in this story, the attention shifts from the son to the father, which brings us to the fourth blessing the father gives to his forgiven son, which we see in verses 23 and 24 of Luke chapter 15, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Then let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, every noble family that possessed animals would have a special calf that they had fattened. And the Greek word used here for fattened means corn or grain. The idea is the calf was grain-fed, which meant that his was prime beef. And they kept this calf around for such a thing as the wedding of the elder brother or some significant dignitary or some other monumental event. I mean, to kill and eat on the fatted calf was only for red-letter occasions. And so here we see that this father deems the return of his penitent son the time to kill the calf so that they can celebrate by having this massive mega feast so that they can eat corn-fed beef. Now is the time. Now keep in mind, meat was rarely eaten in the Middle East in Jesus' time, in Jesus' day. Only on special occasions was meat eaten, and especially meat from the fattened calf. And since a fattened calf could feed up to 200 people, the entire village would have been invited. Everyone was welcome to come and join the party, which is what we earlier saw in verses 6 and 9 with the lost sheep and the lost coin. Remember when the lost sheep was brought home on the shoulders of the shepherd, he called his friends and family and neighbors together and said, "Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep." And when the lady found her coin, she also called together her friends and neighbors saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found the coin." And now because the son that was dead has come to life, it is time to be merry. It is time to celebrate. When a son who was dead comes to life, it's time to celebrate. It's time to kill the fatted calf. Now we need to realize that this was not so much the celebration of the son. Rather, this was the celebration of the Father. Really, the feast honored the Father for what he had done. For it was the Father who had restored his son to his sonship. It was the Father who had shown merciful forgiveness and gracious sacrificial love. He had shown this to a son who was dead and now is alive. Literally, the Greek says, is up and alive. The son who was lost is now found. And so again, at the end of verse 24, we read, "And they began to be merry." Isn't this a beautiful picture of heaven? Where will be the endless celebration of the grace of a loving Father to us, penitent, believing sinners, and where forever we will be covered with the divine robe of righteousness as God gives the children of his love and forgiveness and honor and authority and respect. Responsibility and full access to all his treasures. 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich." And even now God holds a heavenly celebration for each and every sinner who comes to him, every one. And so let me say, as I conclude tonight, or let me ask, how about you? How about you? If you're not a Christian, is it this the time to receive the love of the Heavenly Father who waits and longs for you to return. Isn't this the time to come home, to experience God the Father's grace, a robe of righteousness which signifies honor, a ring which signifies authority, shoes which signify sonship, and a feast awaits.